The Marching Roundtable is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International and Music for All.
I think that we just have a really good culture here, like not just in marching band, in our symphonic groups and in our orchestra. We just have this family setting where we're like having banter and like just a sibling energy and a family energy where we all just love each other and we're working together as a team. Like it's not necessarily those who are in marching band or those who are in other ensembles. Like we all just are part of one program striving toward one thing.
And as much as families don't get along sometimes, I feel like at the end of the day, when we, especially at BOA, when we got out there, we all performed like a collective unit of a family and we all congratulated each other regardless of our status with that person. It's just like one big family that can put things aside to come together for something more beautiful, which is the art of music and dance and theater.
This is Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts. I recently interviewed Grant Knox of Cienega High School in Arizona for the BOA Today podcast series we're presenting this fall. Grant took his band to the Las Cruces Regional to start the season, and I did a follow-up interview with Grant and three student leaders about their experience there. During the conversation, they talked about their band culture and how it helped them be successful that day. I was so impressed with these students and what they had to say that I decided to share the entire conversation here as a special Marching Roundtable podcast. There's a video version of this podcast that anyone can watch at the Marching Roundtable YouTube channel. There's a link to that video where this podcast is located at the Marching Roundtable. Thanks to the sponsor of this podcast, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com/roundtable. Creating an inclusive and welcoming band culture on the Marching Roundtable.
Podcast is sponsored by FJM, Fred J. Miller Incorporated. FJM is the leader in marching arts uniform manufacturing and continues to lead the charge through groundbreaking design, superior service, and over 60 years of industry innovation. The Cesario collection of marching band uniforms is 100% machine washable, includes a limited lifetime warranty, and makes the fitting process a breeze with their adjust-a-cuff and adjust-a-hem technology. Now is the perfect time to create a new image for your program. Chat with a live FJM representative or schedule your complimentary consultation today at fjminc.com/roundtable. That's fjminc.com/roundtable. Fred J. Miller Incorporated, family-owned and operated since 1960.
Hey there, everyone. Barry Hauser from the University of Illinois and Smith Walbridge Clinics. I wanted you to know that I am a huge fan of the work that Tim Hinton and his team are doing at Marching Arts Education. I recently joined him for a webinar, and that webinar, along with so many others and a tremendous amount of other resources, are located on his website. Now, if you're like me, you are constantly looking for best practices, techniques, and just want to know what others are doing in our activity. I know this information will be super helpful to you and your staff. I encourage you to consider a membership to help support Tim so he can continue providing this amazing information and other resources to our marching community. Thanks so much, and be sure to join today.
So I'm back with Grant Knox from Cienega High School. Grant, you guys were at the Las Cruces, New Mexico Regional. So tell me about what was your experience like there?
It was an awesome experience, a hot one for sure. Band in the southwestern part of the United States never gets easier, especially this time of year. But it was a really awesome event. We were there with bands from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Las Cruces, El Paso. So really just kind of a full-on regional event. And that was the first ever Las Cruces Regional. And so all the students, you could feel it in the air that history was being made, regardless of scores. Regardless of placement, it was really special to be a part of that history.
I'm Taylor. I'm a senior this year, and I'm the percussion captain, so I'm in charge of both pit and percussion battery.
I'm Serena. I am the color guard captain. I have been for a few years now, and I'm a senior.
My name's Olivia. I'm the woodwind captain right now, and I'm a bass clarinetist.
Taylor, I'll just start randomly with you. Tell me about your experience at the regional. Had you been to a BOA event before?
Yes, I went to championships in 2019 as a freshman, and it was really cool to see all that, but Las Cruces was a really different experience, and it was different because of the size and because of just, like, the air around it. I think that there was a lot of, like, newer bands and bands that don't necessarily get the recognition as, like, the bands that go to championships. It was a lot different, like, in size comparison.
BOA experience, honestly, it was nothing like I've ever experienced for any other competition. We're so used to in-state competitions where, you know, we're with schools that we generally know, and we know, like, their reputation and how they usually function and how they work. BOA, we've never met any of the other schools that we've been at or, like, seen. And so I think just, like, that contrast was really strange, but in a very, like, good sense, where we could, you know, learn from what we did and what we saw so that we can better ourselves for future competitions and maybe for future BOAs.
Band is bigger than the art that we put on the field or the scores that we receive in the score sheet, but it's about the people, the interactions, the way that we make the audiences feel, and the way we feel with each other, whether it's within our own band but with or outside of our own band with other bands.
Speaking to the culture of band, I think we tried to interact with as many bands as we could during, like, our off times, and I think that was a great experience because we got to meet people that were similar to us because we are from the same region and we run somewhat in the same way. But I think it was just great to be able to see some new faces and interact with people that we don't see every day, because consistency is good in a certain sense, but learning more and broadening your horizons in this activity is more beneficial than anything.
So for any of you, was there anything that surprised you about something that happened that day or about someone you met, about, like, they did something really differently than you were used to? Absolutely, go.
The timing, like, when we were waiting to go out for our performance and then when we were on the field about to do our pre-show, there was a man with a little timer and he was counting down the minutes and then went 3, 2, 1. I thought it was so cool how it was all timed down to the exact second for each band to be able to come on and off in a timely fashion. I just thought it was really cool because I've never been in a place that, like, down to the second they timed things and had people switch in and out in such a timely fashion. I just was fascinated by it more than I was stressed out, I think.
It was a fun adventure leading up to BOA because the 6-minute minimum show requirement that they have throughout the season, that was back into place. And I think a lot of us bands had gotten used to pandemic grace, where the show requirement in our local circuits or national circuits were more like 4 or 5 minutes, and especially this early in the season. So there's a bit of anxiety with, are we going to hit the 6-minute minimum, or are we going to get penalized? But certainly on the front end, I think it was a very relaxed knowing that we were being taken care of by the BOA staff, and they had everything under control, and we just had to worry about performing.
I think that it was just, like, very organized. With our local circuits, it's kind of chaotic, but with the BOA circuit, it's so, like, organized down to the very last minute, almost like a, like, bowl game, where it's very coordinated and very organized.
I think it was stressful in the sense of, did I have enough time to prepare for this? Am I prepared to go onto that field and do the best that I can do? And I think, personally, for that run, I think Cut and Guard did amazing with the time crunch that we had. Part one and part two, of course, you know, we have to learn choreography so quickly, and with the amount of practices that we have, sometimes we add in, you know, a couple more. We stay a couple minutes late so we can do, you know, a couple run-throughs here and there, but that really makes the difference. And going onto that field, we have a lot of returners in our guard, but we also have a couple of new people, and so I gave them a pep talk of, hey, guys, this is the first time you're going to be on a professional field with people that you don't know. And so I think telling them to, like, don't worry about it, it's just, like, you know, it's almost just like another run through. I think that really calmed them down, and just being on that field, doing the work, it was almost like a dream. It was just amazing.
Yeah. The audience was bigger than I expected, actually, because in my head, I think Las Cruces is like the Eastern Arizona, where it's just desert and there's nothing out there. I was really shocked and excited to see the stands kind of full.
with people. I think it was like kind of difficult for our rookies just because it was their very first competition of the season. Plus it was BOA, which we've never done before. So we had a lot of people freaking out when it really should have been like, go with the flow, especially with how organized it was. It should have been off of axe, but a lot of people were freaking out. But in the end, we had a really good run, and I think that the nerves went out the window as soon as we started the timer.
There's a moment where I locked in on the battery and Taylor as base one. I could see that she was hyping the music in a great way I think it was the first performance where I saw the seniors step out of their leadership role and just kind of enjoy performing. And they weren't nervous, and it was a testament to their hard work over the last two months since band camp, leading up to the show. They felt super comfortable, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it felt like they were on autopilot and really having fun, and I think they maximized the fact that it was their last first show of their high school career.
Definitely. We've been just saying every event that happens, we're like, oh, it's our first, like our last first whatever. And I think that was our first BOA competition, but also our last first BOA competition. So it was just a great experience.
Yeah, and going off of what Ms. Knox says about going on autopilot, when you step onto that field, it almost feels like everything that you've been carrying all day of like the pressure, the stress, oh, am I going to do this right, blah, blah, blah. You know, am I going to put the right notes? Am I going to do the right choreography? Everything just kind of melts as soon as you get onto that field, and you just have fun while you're doing it. And as soon as you get off, you're like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dream.
It's almost like you black out and you're like, It's a bigger part of a team. It's like once you get in the uniform, you're not just one person anymore. You're part of like 100 people who are doing the same thing, and we're all locked in and focused on performing that show to our best ability. I think that we just have a really good culture here, like not just in marching band, in our symphonic groups and in our orchestra. We just have this family setting where we're like having banter and like just a sibling energy and a family energy where we all just love each other and we're working together as a team. Like, it's not necessarily those who are in marching band or those who are in other ensembles. Like, we all just are part of one program striving toward one thing.
And as much as families don't get along sometimes, I feel like at the end of the day, especially at BOA, when we got out there, we all performed like a collective unit of a family, and we all congratulated each other regardless of our status with that person. It's just like one big family that can put things aside to come together for something more beautiful, which is the art of music and dance and theater, et cetera.
Yeah, and like going off of that with like the family aspect, I remember, you know, going onto the BOA field, and you know, like I was the soloist for our performance. I'm Cinderella. And so the first set, you know, I'm facing the back and I can clearly see Taylor and Olivia, and I looked at them and like I was like, okay, guys, you know, we're ready, let's go. And it felt so comforting that I could see everyone in the band and all of the unity, then all of, you know, the love and art that we've created to come into that, you know, into that moment and be like, okay, guys, it's showtime.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that you do to create that sort of family unity and feeling within your fellow students? You guys are leaders in the band. What do you do when the new students come in? Can you give me some specific things that you do to help build that?
What I like to do is I have like a lot of pre-show hype rituals, if you will. Like I talk so much during the pre-show when we're not playing. Obviously the audience can't hear it, but I think just making everything a little bit more fun and not so robotic, I guess, because uniformity can be seen as robotic. Making everybody feel welcome and having a good time and showing that it's okay to have a good time, especially during pre-show, has really, like, I've seen the benefits of that.
Yeah, and I think the connection, it has to start when you first meet them. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, your first impression is everything, especially when you're a leader, because, you know, people are going to be looking up to you and looking to you for advice and, you know, like, how is this choreography done? What exactly is this measure? What are we supposed to do? People are going to be looking at you to do that first. So I think making that connection, like during band camp or whenever you meet your new people first, I think that's when you really have to get it on. Like, okay, guys, you're in my group now. How am I going to work with you like I did with, you know, my last section, who was amazing? How am I going to make you guys even better?
I think a big part of it is like there's stuff that happens in the classroom and on the field versus what happens outside of the classroom. Like, in my sectionals and everything, when I'm running it, I'm very to the point and, like, we need to get this done, very strict. And when immediately after we're done with that, like, I go back to joking around, and outside of the classroom, we have, like, text group chats, and, like, we're sending each other memes and cat videos. Like, we just have good banter in the classroom, in our sectionals, versus outside of the classroom.
Yeah, it's all about creating this sense of autonomy and drive self-efficacy with the students. You know, this is a very student-driven program, to the point where this Friday, I wanted to give them at our football grade game before fall break, wanted to give them a break from the show, and it seemed like the majority opinion was we want another run through before we go on fall break. Now, maybe not everyone agreed on that opinion, but I always want my students, because art is about autonomy, art is about self-expression, and even in this setting where we are creating ensemble art, I want them to feel like this is their program and they're the ones that are driving the culture as well as the musical product.
Yeah, I tell the woodwinds a lot, like, before you're clarinet 4, you're an artist and you're a person. Like, before you're trumpet 2 or you're tuba 3, you're an artist and you're a person, and you deserve to express yourself in whatever way makes you feel the most comfortable.
I think a big part of, like, musicality and artistry is, like, you as a person. Like, what happens outside in your life, like, your homework and who you are, what you like, what you want to major in. All of that comes back into your artistry. Like, I may do something better than another person, but we all each have something to contribute because we are our own person.
Yeah, and I think, like, putting your personality and, like what Taylor said, you know, put yourself into your art, I think that's just what makes it so individualized, but also just, like, such a collective unit, because everyone has their own personality and their own way of looking at art, but the way that we all put it together, it just makes it, I think, even more beautiful. And yeah, that's just the beauty of, I think, marching band and just any other, like, fine art that you could ever find.
That's how I feel about your solo with Ali. Ali's the clarinet soloist that performed. How you guys during practice kind of got to, like, cultivate your own dance and choreography and just find that connection in your artistry so you could both be soloists together. I thought that was so cool.
I think every person in the band is a soloist in their own, like, capability, because even during the characterization and, like, the visuals that we're doing, everyone is putting their own spin on it. Everyone's doing their own dance, their own poses. Like, we all get to have our own moment.
Man, I'm loving that. That's so cool. I love that. And so you talked about everybody being comfortable being who they are and expressing their own personality. Again, that is not something that every group can, that doesn't create. So do you guys do anything? I mean, you've already mentioned about getting to know them, making them feel welcome. Is there anything else that you do to make sure people know that, you know, it's okay to be yourself and express your own personality here?
I think the way that you have to do that is you lead by example. So you have to be comfortable with yourself first, so then you can reassure other people of, hey, by the way, it's okay. You don't have to put up, you know, a mask or an act. Like, you can be yourself here in this program or in any other program that you can be in. And I think that's just really magical for this, because, you know, especially for new people, when they come in, they're like, oh, you know, I don't want to do anything that'll make people, you know, distracted or, like, make me stand out. And that's really not what we want. We want everyone to stand out in their own light, so then it all looks cohesive and it looks, like, very, again, magical.
I think a big part of our program is, like, the inclusion and the representation we have here. We have a United Sound program. We have a Tri-M program this year. We have, like, a bunch of different people playing different things and doing their own thing. Like, we just include everyone, and we have such a diverse program and accepting program, which is truly a blessing, and not every program has that.
Did you feel like this was a very helpful launch for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I feel like somewhat it was a wake-up call. You know, we actually get to perform now, because so many of, especially the freshmen, they didn't really get much of a middle school band experience, and now they have the opportunity to perform to an audience bigger than they've ever seen. So starting off the season with our biggest trip, biggest competition, I think was really great. It was a little wake-up call into, oh, there's actually going to be people watching us now, and it was fun.
Yeah, I think going off of what Olivia said, it definitely was a wake-up call, and now that we've performed in front of people, I think it's really going to help in, you know, our next competitions and our next just general performances, whether it's, you know, at games or, you know, just any other competition that we have here in Arizona. I think it's really going to help because now we know what it's like to perform in front of a crowd, especially a crowd that doesn't know you. Like in, you know, in local competitions, people know almost every single one of the bands. So they know, you know, what your strengths, what your weaknesses are, what your reputation is. And so going into that with that clear mindset of, okay, I've done this before, I can do this again. And especially with one of our biggest competitions coming up after the fall break, I think it's going to be really, really helpful that we had the BOA experience so we can put that into one of our other really, really big competitions.
Mm-hmm. I think that BOA was just truly an amazing opportunity because we got to listen to so many other opinions and see so many different other bands that do things different than us. Like, not to sound like a fangirl, but hearing John Meehan talk about my drum line was kind of epic, for lack of a better term. But like, we just got to hear so many opinions from judges that we would have never heard otherwise. Because here in Arizona, we hear the same thing over and over again. All the judges basically say the same thing every year. So it was truly amazing to get to hear other directors and other professionals speak on our band.
Wow. So Grant, do you feel like it's done what you've wanted and you're moving forward into the rest of the season where you were hoping?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. The most interesting thing, the competition that Serena referenced, is our local university's host show, the University of Arizona's Band Day. And previously, that's looked at almost as a Super Bowl of our program, mm-hmm. and a lot of schools in the area. So I am super excited to see the band come back from fall break and go into that show with a little bit of less stress. And because they've competed in a bigger show on a bigger circuit, and so I think they'll come out even stronger because there's not that much pressure. The pressure has been alleviated. And so I think that's the great thing about opening up our season with that. But even if the BOA show is at the end of the season, I think all those things would still hold true that these students mentioned.
Well, congratulations to you guys. I mean, everything you said is so impressive and exciting to me. And I've enjoyed hearing you say it. I'm sure the rest of the season is going to just be amazing. So have a great break and good luck for the rest of your season.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Watch for BOA Today every Wednesday this season from the Marching Roundtable. We take you behind the scenes and up close to the great performances, interesting stories, and fascinating people that make Bands of America so exciting. If you have a story about your band family that you would like us to share, please contact Tim via email at tim@marchingroundtable.com or fill out the contact form at marchingroundtable.com. And watch for the fun, fast-paced video version of BOA Today, presented by FJM. There's a new episode every Wednesday where we talk about the highlights from the previous weekend, bands that everyone is talking about, stories we're working on for upcoming podcasts, and what to watch for next weekend at Bands of America Regionals. You can find the video version of BOA Today on the Marching Roundtable YouTube channel. There's a link to the video version where this podcast is located at the Marching Roundtable, or just search for Marching Roundtable on YouTube. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast series, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com/roundtable. That's fjminc.com/roundtable. Thanks so much for listening.
Marching Arts Education and the Marching Roundtable are proud strategic partners of Music for All. The Bands of America Championships, presented by Yamaha, are a program of Music for All. Music for All's mission is to create, provide, and expand positively life-changing experiences through Music for All. For more resources for educators and boosters, please visit advocacy.musicforall.org.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should sponsor podcasts at the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach, and with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the sponsorship opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast.